always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, I guess, laid back Monday afternoon by you guys. So here's the deal. I had planned on taking Friday off as a result of just, you know, long season, going to recharge the batteries, all that stuff. And when I had made that decision, I had forgotten that Odyssey was moving where we put our podcasts. You know, we moved away from Megaphone and now we're on Amperwave, Odyssey's own kind of mega, you know, their own platform. And that took place last night. So I wasn't able to record an episode yesterday, and I wouldn't have been able to post an episode yesterday. So I wound up making it kind of a longer weekend as it was. The other issue is that I have been doing, as I talked to Pete about it the other week, I've been doing a lot of work on the garage and the yard and all of that stuff. And you guys can kind of sort of hear it in my voice. Yesterday, I could barely speak. And my eyes were all bloodshot, and my nose was just leaking like a faucet. And I made the executive decision that, okay, I am going to hold off on not just posting the podcast, but you guys don't need to see me like that on the air yesterday. So made it kind of a longer weekend. I will make it up to you guys this week, as it is a Pete week. So we'll be recording an episode on Friday. And yeah, so that is kind of that stuff out of the way. A reminder, though, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Please turn on those notifications, both for the show and for YouTube. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts. Also, as we move from Megaphone to Amperwave, there might be some technical difficulties on the podcast side. Please feel free to get at me either on Twitter or email or whatever to let me know, you know, if you guys are actually getting your shows all in the places that you should be, you know, because sometimes you have technical difficulties that kind of pop up and we're just here to work through them together. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about Luka finishing a distant fourth, a very distant fourth in the MVP voting. You know, I'm going to, you know, kind of reiterate some of the stuff that we have been, or that I've been talking about, as far as Luka or Lakers, you know, eligibility in the eyes of voters. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk about the conference finals as they are now set, right? You have OKC in San Antonio in the West. You have Cleveland and New York in the East. And then, you know, fascinating, just a brutal loss last night for the Detroit Pistons in Game 7 to lose by that much at home in a Game 7. Ugly stuff there. So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what I've kind of taken from the teams that have made it this far so far. Also give some predictions on how I see those series playing out. And then we have three questions from the iTunes mailbag. And over the course of the show, I'm sure you guys are going to have your questions as well. We're starting to, you know, maybe start to see the beginnings of the picture for what the Lakers offseason might look like. So I'm sure you guys have questions on that front as well. And yeah, we're going to go ahead and dive on in, starting with Luka finishing fourth for MVP and, you know, not receiving a single first place vote. So I'm going to try to bring this up and, you know, see what you guys think about the voting results as we see them. So you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wins it, and he got a bunch of the first place votes. I was actually kind of surprised how lopsided the voting here was. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander takes 83 first place votes here, and finishes with a point total across all of the votes of 939. I thought it was really weird over the course of the season that no matter what was going on with OKC's season, that his vote totals just never seemed, or his like on the prediction market and stuff like that, the odds of him winning the MVP never seemed to change. And if voters basically had their minds made up to the extent that they apparently did with these results, then that's how this was always going to go. Kind of a surprise here in seeing Nikola Jokic finishing second here. He got 10 first place votes, as well as 48 second place votes. He and Victor Wembanyama really kind of split the second place votes here. Jokic got 48, Wemby got 38 or 36, kind of hard to see from where I'm at. The people who didn't vote for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander first gave him second place votes, and that left only a single second place vote here for Luka. More on that here in a second. Victor Wembanyama finishes third. He got 5 first place votes. Those 38 or 36 second place votes. And then he got 47 of the third place votes, and really kind of split those, almost a mirror image of the second place votes between Jokic and Wemby. Wemby finishes third with 599 overall points, and then Jokic came in with 250, significantly less than the three finalists there. And so I mean, kind of, obviously the conversation going into the voting season was how it's really weird that the Lakers just like never get finalists despite their kind of omnipresence in the NBA media landscape, despite the fact that they have had some really good teams over the last, 5 or so years, 2020 happened 6 years ago. So yeah, they won one championship. They got to a conference final, got to the second round this year, did miss the playoffs here and there, and did have some early exits, LeBron and AD kind of nursed their wounds from that bubble championship. But my running theory on why it is that Lakers people, whether they be eligible for Defensive Player of the Year or Coach of the Year or Executive of the Year or MVP or Sixth Man or whatever it is, the Lakers tend to be looked at from a deficit standpoint, right? What aren't they good at? When the conversation's about their place in these conversations, MVP, I'll never forget it with Kobe, where, in 06, I think it was, when he averaged 35 a game, it was like, well, he didn't win enough. We've never had an MVP that far down the standings. He still made the playoffs despite having Smush Parker and Luke Walton in his starting lineup. We just can't reward Kobe for being on a team this bad, despite him averaging 35 a game and landing on the first team All-NBA defensive team. Can't even. And I think he finished third that year. I think Dirk actually finished ahead of him in the MVP standings that year. And then when Kobe finally got to, or when the Lakers got back on their feet and it came time to, Kobe's eligibility would have been based more on wins and in team wide success. And then it was like, well, no, I mean, LeBron's stats. And we were like, really, we got to look at the, and it's just like, all right, we're always going to look at it. If it's Kobe, if it's now it's Luka, previously it was LeBron, or if it was Anthony Davis, there's always a reason that we can, you know, the media or the voters can basically decide, oh, well, the focus this year is going to be on this. You know, the focus this year is going to be on that. And right now, you know, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and with Victor Wembanyama, you would say, well, the focus was on, you know, the top two seeds, that, you know, Shai is the best player on the team that got the most wins in the West. You know, it's really just kind of that simple. That's how we always do it. And it's like, well, it's not always how you do it. Sometimes you decide to do it differently when it just happens to be a Laker who you know, would be the best player on the team that finishes, you know, high enough in the standings. And in this case, you have Luka, who, you know, and I really thought that, again, just kind of basing, you know, predicting how things were going to turn out based on how the conversation was going around, you know, the eventual results here. Luka averaged 40 points a game over the course of a month in which his team went 16-2 or whatever it was. And the predictive odds of Luka winning or being named MVP went down. And it was like, oh, okay, all right, so we know how this is going. And then, you know, and listening to some of the voters either on podcasts or in their written stuff when they're explaining their ballots and stuff, you hear a lot of people saying like, well, I mean, Luka wouldn't have qualified for these awards if not for that exception that they made for him because he was having, he left the team for the birth of his son. And it's like, okay, but he did qualify is the thing. And if you're just going to arbitrarily decide whether or not you were literally following the outlines and the rules for who gets voted for and stuff like that, then this whole exercise is fucking bullshit. Like, then all of this is meaningless. If you have every single year voters who are going to look for reasons to basically not acknowledge Lakers people or value different things depending on the kinds of seasons or the candidacy that Lakers would have, if you have people who are literally not going to obey the eligibility that the players have or that the league deems that they have and tells voters that they have, then what are we doing? You know, then honestly, what is the point of all of these awards if it's a voting base that, you know, is so clearly so clearly up in their own feelings, you know, as far as like the types of seasons that players have. Like, I'll never forget like the year that Derrick Rose won MVP over LeBron, and going into that season, it was like, yeah, LeBron's not going to win MVP this year because everybody was really angry at LeBron for going from Cleveland to Miami. And if you have these voters who were so clearly swayed by their just kind of overall mindset towards a player, or in this case, towards a team, where you have so many national media voices who over the course of the year get sick of talking about the Lakers and or spent entire years, plural, looking at the Lakers and overhyping the drama and over-examining every, you know, little thing, or being told by producers that they have to pay extra close attention to the Lakers because every segment about the Lakers tends to traffic really, really well. It was just the other day. It was before, like the morning before a game seven yesterday. And I'm scrolling through one of ESPN's like Twitter feeds or whatever, and it's Kendrick Perkins telling us that Luka Doncic is arriving at that Joel Embiid era. It's like, what? Why are we talking about Luka right now? Like, there's literally a game seven in a matter of hours. And because ESPN knows that Lakers stuff traffics, and because ESPN knows that there's going to be a bunch of Lakers shows that take umbrage with whatever it is that Kendrick Perkins' dumbass is talking about, whenever, you know, as it pertains to the Lakers, like, of course, those voters who have been told all year by their producers that you have to talk about the Lakers are going to be so sick of the Lakers that by the time it comes time to vote for anybody for any of these awards, they're going to be like, nope, I'm going to find any reason under the sun to basically say that player, that team, they aren't going to be represented here. We'll give them all NBA. We'll give them this, but here's why Victor Wembanyama is more appealing. Here's why Nikola Jokic, like, if winning mattered, then what's Jokic doing finishing second in these for MVP? You know, it just kind of is what it is. And, you know, when you look back in history and when Lakers fans specifically look back in NBA history with these awards, we can all just kind of collectively sigh and move on, understanding that a whole bunch of people whose childhoods were ruined by the Lakers are put in charge of voting for these things that sometimes would otherwise be represented by more Lakers historically. And here we stand. As far as like Luka's eligibility next year, it's going to be really interesting to see how this goes because he's going to be on a better team. The team is going to be more built, better built around him. Year two of the diet that he undertook, you know, heading into last year is going to be interesting. A lot of times those kinds of diets or body transformations really kind of take hold in the second year and only get better the longer that those habits set in. And you know, ideally, if the Lakers have a better team, they could win more games. I'm really curious what Luka's odds going into next season are going to be for MVP. And then, you know, the other funny thing too there, like even while I bring that up and as I'm kind of thinking about it out loud, starting the year is like the odds on favorite to win MVP probably seems like a bit of a disadvantage, right? Because from that point on, that's the expectation. So if you go into the season with that being the expectation and with the way that people talk about Luka, and this is before he became a Laker too, by the way, like for whatever reason with Luka, you know, analysts have always felt this freedom to, you know, call him fat and call him immature and, you know, take notice of the technical fouls and stuff like that. And look, I do think he spends too much time arguing with referees, and there were questions about his conditioning year in, year out, but also the way that, you know, people were kind of talking about him even before he became a Laker, you would never think that he had made a finals before or that he had ever had any kind of success there in Dallas. And yet he did. He did have that success there in Dallas. He did get to an NBA finals. Now, the Celtics were just clearly better, and they were a really poor matchup, though I would argue that, or I would at least point out that Luka averaged 30 points in that series, and Dallas's much bigger problem was Kyrie Irving. But for some reason, it's not talked about that way. That series is not talked about that way. So you combine kind of the way that people have always kind of talked about Luka with him arriving at the Lakers and some of the kind of national fatigue that always sets in with the Lakers. I don't know that I would ever bet or advise people to ever bet on Luka for MVP. Like, he would have to be so overwhelming a candidate, just like Kobe was the year that he finally won it, that like they would begrudgingly give it to him. And then after the fact would kind of talk about that MVP as if it was like this lifetime achievement award, when really like Kobe deserved it that year and probably the year after. And you know, we just don't quite talk about it that way. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the odds look like at the beginning of next season, obviously, depending on the summer that the Lakers have. But I do thoroughly disagree with Luka finishing that far back in the MVP voting standings.